right, the book of Joel. Book of Joel. A week and a half ago or 2 weeks ago, we started our study of this prophet, Old Testament prophet of Joel. And again, as just by way of reminder, there's nothing significant as far as timing in the book of Joel, so we can only guess, but we can, as I presented, we made some deductions as far as when this possibly took place. And so let's just review down verses 1 through 7 of Joel chapter 1, so that way we can be reminded where we are as we pick up here as far as this mourning that takes place. It says in verse 1, the word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. And again, there's nothing known of Pethuel either. So again, the Bible is very silent as far as when Joel was a minister. Of course, prophet to a lot of these prophets we're going to study. One might be to Israel, another might be to Judah. Some are both. But hear this, ye old men, give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children and their children another generation. Right? So even great-grandchildren need to hear this. So tell other generations. We have that same command given to us in Scripture. We are to be passing on to the next generation, not just the blessings and the promises and so on, but also the lessons from the judgment of God and so on as well in our culture. That which the palmer worm hath left, hath the locust eaten. And that which the locust hath left, hath the canker worm eaten. And that which the canker worm hath left, hath the caterpillar eaten. I'll just remind you that there are some who say this is a literal judgment of insects and worms and caterpillars. Others say, no, this is symbolic. What I emphasized is, why does it have to be either one? Sometimes God will use a judgment like insect invasion and portray then the coming judgment, as we even I showed you that talked about a nation in verse 6 and other passages. It says, verse 5, awake ye drunkards and weep and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation, notice again, a nation, and as I talked about the four stages of invasion in verse 4, Babylon actually invaded Judah in four stages as they conquered the nation of the southern kingdom of Judah. For a nation has come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion. Remember, Babylon is pictured by a lion in Daniel 7. And he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. He hath laid my vine waste, as we have seen, in Isaiah 5, it talks about Israel being the vineyard of the Lord. He hath laid my vine, notice the possession there, waste and barked my fig tree. And it's very interesting, Israel is in many cases pictured by the fig tree. He hath made it clean, bare, and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white. Now, as we continue through this, I want you to notice this mourning and lamentation that comes from the judgment of God. Lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. When you notice this lamentation here, of course, there's an Old Testament book written by Jeremiah called Lamentations. Lamentation obviously speaks of mourning. But lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. I believe the picture there is a betrothed young woman who is not able to have the completed marriage because of her husband's death or whatever the case may be. So notice we're talking about lamentation or mourning, so we have this word picture here. Like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. She's been looking forward to her marriage, and all of a sudden that opportunity is cut off. It says, the meat offering and the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord. Notice the offerings are not coming into the temple or the tabernacle. And it says here, the priests, the Lord's ministers, mourn. So as we understand, the provision of the priests were cared for by these meat and drink offerings. So here we see that even the Lord's house, the temple, is famished as far as this. So notice the call here is for the priests are mourning. It says, the field is wasted, the land mourneth. Again, notice all of these words related to mourning here and lamentation. The field is wasted, the land mourneth, for the corn is wasted, the new wine is dried up, the oil languisheth. Be ye ashamed, O ye husbandmen, howl, O ye vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. In fact, it's interesting, Jesus says in John 6:27, labor not for the meat that perisheth. In fact, Job even says it this way, that I esteem his words to be more than my necessary food. Now, as Americans, I think we have trouble figuring this out here, that there is something more to eating. We don't eat to live. We live to eat, in many cases in America. But our abundance is actually causing us, you know, to head into God's judgment as we think about this. But again, you notice here this whole situation is lamentation, mourning, and all of this. And my thoughts as I've been meditating on this passage and this chapter in particular is, America is under God's judgment, whether we admit it or recognize it or not. Why don't we see it more in our land? It's because it's not gotten bad enough. Until it gets bad enough, we're not going to recognize that God's judgment is on our nation. The vine is dried up, verse 12. The fig tree languisheth. Notice he's emphasizing this, repeating it. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. In contrast, notice the contrast here in Psalm 104. I want you to think about the fact that America has experienced the provisional blessings of God, but I have a feeling we've kind of taken on the credit of it all, even as God warned Israel about that, against that, in Deuteronomy, as they were preparing to go into the Promised Land. Notice Psalm 104, verse 10. I want you to see a contrast here. So in Joel, we see that, you know, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree, the apple tree, all the trees of the field are withered. They're not producing any apples in abundance like, you know, we've had here. Guys are bringing, you know, boxes of apples because they have too much. But here's notice the contrast. This is the provisional blessings of God. He sendeth the springs, verse 10, into the valleys, which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. Now, I want to point out here, first of all, this wine, I believe, is the fruit of the vine, not the strong drink, because the Bible warns against the strong drink. So this is non-alcoholic wine as a biblical sense. But it says here, the trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon, which he hath planted, where the birds make their nests, as for the stork, and so on. So you notice here this provisional blessing of God, but back in Joel, we have the contrast to this. God has removed his blessings, and because of that, he's removed his provisional blessings as well. Now, if America doesn't wake up, we're going to totally lose everything we've had financially in prosperity. I'm constantly seeing articles talking about the where we are economically, but in places, the housing market is still good and everything, so we're not paying attention to this, but inflation continues to rise. Food prices continue to rise, all of those things, but it's not gotten bad enough yet, so we're not paying attention to it like we should, and we're not focused on going back to God. Now, I want you to notice here the emphasis of this. Of course, this is a part of God's judgment upon the nation. So when we think about this, we should keep our focus on the one who gives the blessings, not on the blessings themselves. I really believe this is an emphasis in this section of Joel here, because all of a sudden they have nothing of their blessings that they had experienced. And because of that, notice the end of verse 12 again. It says, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. So many times our joy and happiness is related to happenings rather than the joy in the Lord. Verse 13, gird yourselves and lament, ye priests, howl, ye ministers of the altar. Notice these words here, gird yourselves and lament. Notice now he's calling the priest to mourn here. Howl, ye ministers of the altar. Come, lie all night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my God. For the meat offering and the drink offering is withholden from the house of your God. Again, the provision for the ministers of the altar, the ministers of God, are gone because the people do not have the financial blessings any longer. Notice the response here, this solemn assembly that's called here. Sanctify ye a fast. call a solemn assembly, gather the elders of and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto him. Now, it's very interesting, this statement, solemn assembly. In the margin, I was noticing in the 1611, there's a marginal statement that says a day of restraint. Notice here this solemn assembly. I really believe in our culture, we still have all kinds of partying. We still have all kinds of, you know, entertainment. We still have all kinds of different things to distract us from the reality of what's going on around us. That's exactly where America is. Lighten up. Why are we having this solemn assembly? Churches are like that. Instead of calling people to repentance, and even the Bible talks about fasting, instead of churches calling people to repentance because of the state of our nation, yeah, we're going to rock and roll it. You could forget about your problems for an hour as we're rocking for Jesus and all that kind of stuff. All of this stuff is going on to distract them from the reality of what's going on in our culture. God's judgment is on our nation. And we need to wake up because it's only going to get worse and worse. God is not going to apologize to these nations he's already judged by letting us off the hook. God is consistent in his judgment. In fact, because we've had greater blessings with the word of God, I believe he's holding us more accountable than some nation who's not heard the truth. Sanctify ye a fast. Who's he commanding this to? Goes back to verse 13. The ministers of my God. Sanctify ye a fast. Call a solemn assembly. It was the priests that would do this. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God and cry unto the Lord. All right, so you think about after 9/11, which I believe was a premeditated thing. That's just my opinion. You can study it out for yourself. But here's the reality of it. As soon as 9/11 took place, guess what? They had prayer meetings in bars. They shut down football games and basketball games for a week or two, right? America's not waking up. We're not paying attention. God's still trying to get our attention, and we're not paying attention. Notice, get into the house of the Lord your God and cry unto the Lord. Well, you know, some of the people didn't even go back to a church, a Bible preaching church, you know, let alone that. But, you know, praying in a bar, okay, well, they're not back in church yet. They're not seeking God. No, it just got bad enough for, wow, this has never happened in America. So it got their attention, but not permanently. There was no permanent change. Back to business as usual eventually. Notice me, Zechariah chapter 7. Old Testament book of Zechariah. There's a very interesting similarity in wording here. Zechariah 7 verse 4. Then came the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, saying, speak ye unto all the people of the land and to the priests, saying, when ye fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month, even those 70 years. All right, so this is during the judgment of God upon Judah when they were taken to Babylon and all that. Notice, even during those 70 years. So this is later on now. Did ye at all fast unto me, even to me? And when ye did eat, and when ye did drink, did not ye eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? Should ye not hear the words of the Lord which the Lord hath cried by the former prophets? So these are the prophets before the Babylonian captivity. Very interesting similarity, Joel and here. This is Joel is before, this is after. When Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity, and the cities thereof round about her, when men inhabited the south and the plain. Notice also 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. As we think about the locusts and the invasion here, I want you to notice something that Solomon prays at the dedication of the temple. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 37. 1 Kings 8, verse 37. If there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, notice, locusts, or if there be caterpillar. Oh, that's very interesting, according to Joel. If their enemy besiege them in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all the people of Israel, every man the plague of his own heart. Notice the plague of his own heart. There's the real issue, the plague that's inside, not the plague that's happening in the nation. The plague in the nation is a result of the plague that's in the heart. And notice, spread forth his hands toward this house, Then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and do and give to every man according to his ways. Oh, wow, do we really want that? Whose heart thou knowest, for thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men, that they may fear thee all the days that they live in the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. There's the key right there. We do not fear God like we should. We have lost our fear of the God of heaven. For whatever reason, we're proud and arrogant and think that we're going to be above God's judgment. As we go back to Joel 1, notice again in verse 14, sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly. Call the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God and cry unto the Lord. Get back to the house of God. Instead, we have these rock centers, rock music centers, entertainment centers, these mega churches. There's no call to fasting and repentance and all that in these going on in these churches, as I've mentioned. Alas for the day. Here's why. He's calling everyone to a solemn assembly. A day of restraint, fasting and calling out to God, crying out to him. Alas for the day, exclamation point. For the day of the Lord is at hand. We for whatever reason think the day of the Lord is only at the very end. The day of the Lord is going to be in the tribulation period, the great tribulation. No. The day of the Lord is a day of judgment. God's day of judgment came for Israel in AD 70. The Bible calls that the day of the Lord. Notice here, it's talking about the day of the Lord is at hand. It's near at hand. Notice, as a destruction from the Almighty. Not just correction, he's going to destroy. Notice from the Almighty God. The Almighty God has this power to destroy. Notice, as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Is not the food, or the food cut off from before your eyes? It's like he's saying, pay attention, your stores are empty. I mean, I think about, during the pandemic, oh, wow, we got to go get toilet paper, we're not going to have any. I remember walking in Crete Walmart, and the whole toilet paper section was absolutely empty. Wow. I looked at that, and it's like, it was empty for days because they couldn't get enough back in. I remember working for FedEx yet then, and there was somebody that ordered 4 or 5 cases of toilet paper to have delivered to their house because they couldn't find any at the stores. Amazon still had them. But here's the reality. We're not paying attention. All right, so when it comes to rationing in America, will we finally wake up? The food, the meat is cut off before your eyes. Yea, joy and gladness from the house of our God. Notice there's distress rather than joy. But again, it's not gotten bad enough yet for us to pay attention to God's warning signs. The seed is rotten under their clods. Now, notice here there's no harvest year after year. The seed is rotting in the fields. That's pretty bad. Notice there's no first fruits that are brought from the harvest. The seed is rotten under their clods. The garners are laid desolate. What is a garner? It's for storing grain. Garner, grain. All right, so that's an easy way to remember what a garner is. It's not a barn. We used to see this when I was a kid on the farm. They would have corn cribs. I mean, they didn't have always, the combine that took the corn off the cob right then and there. Way back when I was a kid, it's like, wow, I'm dating myself here. But I remember we had corn cribs on the farm. You put the whole ear of corn on there so that, and then my dad would put it in the grinder to feed the livestock and all that. The garner, it's for storing grain, right? So we understand this. The barns are broken down. Oh, you think about farms. It's interesting more and more as some of these large land holdings, come true today. More and more homesteads are just, why don't you just tear them down? Because it looks like it's an eyesore. In fact, if you tear it down, you might have a little more land to harvest, plant crops and everything. But notice, the barns are broken down. The corn is withered. Total crop failure. Notice also the livestock are suffering because it says in verse 18, how do the beasts groan? The herds of the cattle are perplexed because they have no pasture. They go out to pasture and there's nothing to eat. Sticking their head out the fence trying to get a few weeds growing in the ditch. I mean, that's the reality of what he's talking about here. because they have no pasture. Yea, the flocks of the sheep are made desolate. O Lord, to thee will, notice, I cry. He's not saying we, he's saying I will cry. I believe this is Joel speaking here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. O Lord, to thee will I cry, for the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness. Now, let me ask you again, I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. Do locusts bring fire with them? Do caterpillars bring fire with them? You notice here there's obvious wording here that tells us that there is an army, a human army that is coming into Judah here. O Lord, to thee will I cry, for the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame hath burned all the trees of the field. If we don't wake up, we don't see a correlation with this. How many days has it been hard to go outside because of the haze from the smoke up in Canada? How many times I've heard people clear down even to the southern states having smoke from the burning fires of Canada? And can I point out something with that? 600 fires is not a natural fire. We're talking about fires that have been set one way or another. Again, the fire in Hawaii, that was not a natural fire. Blue vehicles are not burned? Interesting. That's because of the intensified light from these dews. These are targeted fires, and there's a reason why they're keeping people out of from their homes even. They can't even go back to see the damage done to their properties. It's all fenced off. There's an agenda there. But here's the point. An enemy does this. We don't see that the enemy is already here. Black Lives Matter was the enemy. Oh, I know that's not politically correct. That's not a prejudiced, racial statement. They are communists. By their own admission, they are Marxists. The Marxists we're being invaded by Marxists. They're coming across the southern border, by the way. Chinese men. Why are single Chinese men coming across the border? Why don't they just fly in like they have been in your times past? We need to wake up. America is under God's judgment. And we're going to see it pretty bad eventually unless we repent. Notice, the flame hath burned all the trees of the field. The beasts of the field cry also unto thee. For the rivers of waters were dried up, and the fire, notice, the fire, the flame, the fire. Notice how many times it's emphasized in these two verses. The fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness. Now, notice chapter 2, there's a chapter division, but I believe the thought is continuing here. Notice because of the seriousness of this whole situation, the morning lamentation. Notice, blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Notice he emphasizes again what he said in verse 15 of chapter 1. The day of the Lord is at hand. Now you notice here, the priests are called on to blow the trumpet. According to Numbers chapter 10, verse 8, the priests are the one who blew the trumpet, the shofar as an alarm. Notice to me Isaiah 58. I want to show you a similarity here. And this is why I say that modern American churches are going to face God's judgment, and we need to be sounding the alarm instead of adding to the distraction from the seriousness of the hour. I want you to notice here this similarity here as far as this blowing of the trumpet. Cry aloud, Isaiah 58, verse 1. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness and forsake not the ordinance of their God, they ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. It was all a show, as we understand in history, as far as Judah is concerned. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? We've been fasting, Lord, and you're not paying attention. It's because their heart has not changed. Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to take your voice to be heard on high. Again, all these prayer meetings and bars, you don't think drinking still happened? Yeah, they're sitting at the bar. Oh, yeah, we're going to pray. And then we're going to sit around and talk about what we prayed about. It's like, God is not mocked. God is not deceived. Joel 2:1, again, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. All the inhabitants of the land tremble. Not enough in America are trembling yet. For the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. I want you to notice something again in Isaiah. This passage just came to my mind. I think it's chapter 66. Let me get ahead there for you. Yes, Isaiah 66, verses 1 and 2. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and notice this, and trembleth at my word. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb, as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation, as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense, as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. Ah, that sounds like America. I also will choose their delusions, and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. God sent messengers to the southern kingdom of Judah till there was no remedy. They did not respond. They did not return to God. So again, it says here, I will choose their delusions and bring their fears upon them. The things that they're afraid of, I'm going to bring upon them. Notice the end of verse 4 then. But they did evil before mine eyes and chose that which I delighted not. Of course, hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Notice the emphasis in verse 2 and verse 5, trembling at God's word. Again, Joel 2, verse 1. The day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Notice, this emphasis on judgment. A day of darkness and of gloominess. A day of clouds and of thick darkness. Come on, Joel, lighten up. That's exactly where we are. Do you realize how many people leave a church that sounds the alarm? They want to go to a church. Yeah, it's fun to be at. And we have all kinds of activities and we do all this stuff. That's where America is. And America as a whole is not waking up to it. We want our distractions, their entertainment and our partying. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. The more I study and read in the Old Testament prophets, the more I see America and where we're heading. God did this to his chosen nation. You don't think he's going to do it to a nation like America? As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and strong. Notice, that's not locusts, a great people and a strong people. We're not talking about locusts. Worms and caterpillars there. I really believe in major part Joel was fulfilled by AD 70. This is not about the great tribulation period at the end. This was fulfilled by AD 70 with the Roman invasion. You know another reason why I say that? You look at chapter 2, the end of the chapter. Peter quotes the end of the chapter 2 in Acts chapter 2 as being fulfilled. This is that what Joel talked about. Here's what I want you to understand. We're not talking about, oh, yeah, this is not anything I'm going to have to worry about because this is about the Great Tribulation. We're going to be raptured out of here. We're going to be spared all this. Where in the Bible does it say that? I've shown you time and time again that that is an error. Notice it says, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Why is it that our government thinks that we can take on both Russia and China at the same time and think we're going to be victorious? We're fools. We are fools. A great people and a strong, they're already coming here. China owns a lot of our ports. Do you realize China makes a lot of our medicine? Probably 90% of our medicine. Okay, so we won't get any medicine. We won't get any technology anymore. We think we can take these people on, a great people and a strong. They have our weapons secrets. The weapons we boast about, they have. They have them. A great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them is a flame burneth. All right, so again, I ask you, locusts, caterpillars, worms, do they burn things out after them? So we're obviously talking about a different type of enemy here. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. I've seen before and after pictures of the Maui fires. Before and after fires, before and after the fire, it's like this. Before them, it's like the Garden of Eden. Beautiful. Paradise. Hawaii. Before them and behind them is a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses. Again, this sounds like Revelation chapter 9. We saw this a couple weeks ago. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap. Like the noise of a flame, a fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb. Notice, you can't hold them back. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. And again, this is going to be an irresistible invasion. It's going to be impossible to hold the invasion back. They shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk everyone on in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. Notice, the earth shall quake before them. Now, many times, prophetically, this is speaking of trembling. In other words, there's a lot of trembling, fear, and so on as these invasions take place. This literally could be true, a trembling. Notice, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. This is from Matthew 24. I want you to see this cross-reference here, Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 29. Now, in relation to the second coming of the Lord, immediately after the tribulation, notice, after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. All right. So people will say, well, this is, you know, 7-year tribulation, and then you have the coming of the Lord in judgment. Read carefully. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. I thought the trumpet sounded at the pre-trib rapture. Great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect. Oh, these are the people saved during the tribulation period. We can't have it both ways. His elect from the four winds, from the one end of heaven to the other. Notice, the elect are gathered after the tribulation of those days, verse 29. But again, I want you to notice the very similar wording here as far as this day of judgment. When Jesus Christ comes, it's going to be a time of judgment. He's going to take the elect out, and then he's going to judge the earth. Again, it says in Joel 2, verse 11, the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. This is hard for us to understand. China could be his army. Babylon was God's army in relation to Judah. China, Russia could be his army. Wait a minute, that doesn't fit our mindset as Americans. God is able to use a wicked nation to bring judgment upon a wicked nation. For he is strong that executeth his word. God is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it? Who can endure it? Three times since chapter 1, verse 15, he's talked about the day of the Lord, this day of judgment that's coming. Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye. This is our repentance call here. Return ye even unto me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. And rend your heart, and not your garments. In this culture, there was an outward show of mourning, and you know, they would, their outer garment, they would tear it as a sign of mourning, symbolic of a public display of sorrow and so on, lamentation. But notice it says, rend your heart and not your garments. Don't let it just be a public show. Make sure it's from the heart. And notice again, turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth? Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him? Notice his blessing comes after the correction, when he's been correcting wickedness. Notice, leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. So in other words, as God chastens and corrects a nation, brings destruction upon a nation, his blessing is going to be after him, not before him. As Americans, we will not experience God's blessing again until we repent as a nation. Again, all your heart. Turn ye to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Rend your heart, not your garments. We've had a lot of outward show, but notice we're not turning back to the Lord. And what is very interesting is there's similar statements here in relation to what we saw in the book of Jonah. Even it's interesting, one verse, well, let's just look at the one I can remember right now. Notice again verse 13 and 14, rend your heart and so on. For he is gracious and merciful. This is what Jonah realized God was. He's slow to anger, but that's not a license to sin, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil, the calamity. Who knoweth if he, this is what the king of Nineveh said, who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Again, as we understand this, the blessing of God comes after he corrects, after he brings his judgment. Notice with me Amos chapter 4. Again, it's very interesting to show the parallels with some of these other prophets about the same time. Amos chapter 4, verse 6. Amos 4, verses 6 through 9. And I also will give you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places. That sounds like going hungry. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. All right, so he's withholding the food, but it's still not getting anybody's attention. And I also have withholden the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest. Notice, no rain to allow the crops to continue growing. And I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. We don't pay attention to God's warning signs. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew. When your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased, notice the palmer worm, oh, that sounds like Joel. The palmer worm devoured them. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and have taken away your horses. And I have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Who knoweth, back in Joel 2:14, who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him? Well, unless we repent, guess what? He's not going to be able to leave that blessing. Again, this call here, blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast, even infants. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. They're newly married. Notice, it's time for the calling of this solemn assembly. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, God's people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land, and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, Behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith. After the repentance, this takes place. Guess what? God's not going to change the direction of America's judgment until we repent, turn back to him. Verse 20, I will remove far off from you the northern army, Babylon, attacked from the north later on in history. It says, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate with his face toward the east sea, that's the Dead Sea, and his hinder part toward the utmost sea, the Mediterranean. And his stink shall come up and his ill savor shall come up because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Notice these restored blessings here. Be glad then, ye children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. Now, I want to pause here just a moment. It's very interesting, as I was reading this in the 1611, there's a marginal note in the 1611 here with this statement, the former rain moderately, or a teacher of righteousness. So notice here the rain, the former rain, the latter rain, and so on, was a picture of God's blessings as the teacher of righteousness came and proclaimed the righteousness. It's very interesting as you see the correlation here. But notice again the offering of this rain so that the blessings could be restored. As we close, notice with me James chapter 5. James chapter 5. The same type of picture is given here. The blessings of the rain. James 5, verses 7 and 8. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The reality is the Lord is coming soon to judge this earth. And he's going to take control of the kingdoms of this earth. The nations are his kingdom. He's going to come in judgment, and I want you to consider, unless America turns back, our nation as a whole is going to be judged with all the other nations. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see the correlation with our nation, Lord. All the blessings that you gave this land through our founding fathers. Father, we have turned away from thee. We have turned the backs and not the face, even as the Bible says. Lord, I pray that America will wake up, that believers, the Christians in this land, wake up. And Lord, that there would be repentance, turning back to thee. In Jesus' name, amen.